Well, good evening. Good to see everyone again tonight. I'm glad that you're here. We are in the book of Proverbs, and I want to thank Nick for leading that last song per request of Jack. I thought it was great. All your songs were all peace and love, and I'm about to talk about this. And so I was like, all right, that's great. That'll be a good feed up. But I'm glad that I am married because my wife tends to lead me towards good ideas and bad ideas. And she said coming up here and starting off by yelling and getting your attention was a bad idea. And that's a bad attention getter and a bad hook. But I do want you to open up your Bibles to the Proverbs. And this topic, and we've been going through on Sunday nights and just discussing, you know, different themes that the Proverbs talk about. And the Proverbs have a lot to say about the human heart and the condition of the heart. But particularly, it has a lot to say, especially in regards to anger and the human heart. And so what we want to do is just go through and discuss some of the things that the Proverbs have to say. And this is not going to be an exhaustive lesson on anger, nor is it even going to be an exhaustive lesson on what the Proverbs have to say about anger, because there's just too much to discuss. And so tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to establish just a couple of things in regarding anger in the first place. And then we're going to go through and look at exactly what the Proverbs have to say as anger builds and the two ways generally that that happens. And then we're going to look at some appropriate responses to anger and hopefully have a lot of just practical application tonight. But as we jump into it, I want us to just think about this to begin with, and how do I respond to anger? Because everyone in here knows their own temper, don't they? We know our buttons, we know what gets us, we know what makes us perhaps rightfully angry, and hopefully we then respond rightfully to that anger. But we also know what things make us angry and really shouldn't. I've talked about this before and I've never lived it down. One of my things I have to work on is my attitude and anger in regards to how people drive. And I remember Marv and I were supposed to go meet a friend of his, and we were doing a study up in Wilsonville. And that was right after I talked about this, and we were going to get in the car, and he goes, "How about I drive?" And I went, "Oh, no." Well, I needed that, you know. But what I want us to begin by understanding is anger is an emotion. Anger in and of itself is not sinful, and we're going to bring that out. But that God-given emotion can quickly turn into sin, can't it? Because when we talk about anger, normally we push it into two different categories, don't we? We talk about righteous anger, or that which we should be angry about, and that which emulates perhaps the anger of God, and the times that we see Him angry, and why He's angry, and how He reacts. And then there is what we would call maybe the anger of man that does not produce the righteousness of God. And these two themes come out in these two different texts that aren't Proverbs, but that we're very familiar with in regards to anger. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 26, Paul writes, "Be angry and do not sin." Notice Paul here has not said, if you're angry, you have sinned. But Paul here says, if you are going to be angry for the right reasons, for what we would call righteous anger, you need to be careful, because even righteous anger can quickly become the anger of man that does not produce the righteousness of God. And that's why Paul has some things to say about that that we'll come back to and make some practical application to. But then James, this is the other perspective. In chapter 1, verse 19, we know this very well, that everyone is supposed to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This passage always convicts me, because normally I'm quick to speak, I don't really listen, and I'm really quick to get angry, especially when someone else is driving, right? And but this is James' encouragement to us, is to be quiet, to listen, and to be slow to anger, and then he qualifies it. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we understand what James is talking about. When we allow anger to then control us, and we're going to look at that in just a moment, and we no longer have control over our emotions, but our emotions are controlling us, it leads us to do all sorts of things we shouldn't do most of the time, doesn't it? Whether it's in deed or whether it's in what we say. And James says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That does not necessarily mean that anger is wrong and that every response to anger is wrong. I think a great example is the Lord himself in Mark chapter 3. And in Mark 3, he enters the synagogue and he's about to heal a man on the Sabbath. And he asks them a question, whether it is lawful to heal someone on the Sabbath. And they do not answer him. And Jesus, knowing their hearts, at the end of verse 4 and verse 5, it says that they were silent. And he looked around at them with what? With anger. And yet, look what also came with that anger. What's the next word there? Grief. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart. See, his anger for their lack of response, and really they're trying to trap Jesus as they eventually would, and their hardness of heart was coupled with grief over their sin. It wasn't just anger, but it was sorrow for the place that they were in the first place. And we're going to look at some very good applications to come out of that at the end as well. But we just want to introduce this topic for now. Jesus restores his hand, and the Pharisees go out immediately and hold counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. See, their anger was controlling them. Now let's back up for just a moment, and let's talk about this theme before we get into the Proverbs of how even righteous anger can sometimes lead to some very unrighteous actions. Do you remember the story in Genesis chapter 34 where Shechem, the prince of the city, defiles Jacob's daughter, Dinah? And he takes her and he takes advantage of her and actually keeps her captive in his home. And then he and his father have the audacity to go to Jacob and try to basically pay them off so that they'll overlook what they did to his daughter. And then they try to bribe them with other things and say, hey, let's intermarry, let's trade, let's have property. And it says that the brothers of Dinah were very angry and indignant because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing must not have been done. Now let me ask this question. Did they have every right and should they have been indignant and angry at what happened? Yes. Absolutely. But that anger was not dealt with correctly, and it led to very unrighteous actions. And to give you the Spark Notes version of what happens next, they fool Shechem and the rest of the city and by saying, well, we'll enter into marriages with you so long as all of the men circumcise themselves, because we can't intermarry unless you're circumcised. So all the males agree and they do this. And on the third day while they're recovering, Simeon and Levi go in and they kill every single man and take their wives and their children captive and bounce on all their spoil, take everything that belonged to them. And Jacob responds with, basically, you've just put a bounty on your family's head. You just killed us all. And were it not for God's mercy and grace because of his covenant with Jacob, they would have. Was that the right response by Simeon and Levi? And they tried to defend themselves. They said, should we have let them treat our sister like a prostitute? Well, perhaps not, but what you did was far above and beyond what should have been done. Their righteous anger led them to unrighteous actions. And we need to be so careful, even when we have a right to be angry, about how we respond to that anger. And this is where the Proverbs are going to have a lot to say about this. So let's jump in and look at beginning with what the Proverbs have to say about being quick to get angry and having a very quick temper. To begin with, Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." In other words, a completely defenseless city. And he says, this is what you like in the man that has absolutely no self-control. And that comes out not just with things that people abuse when they have no self-control, but it comes out with our emotions as well. Because perhaps the hardest thing to control is our emotions and then also our tongue. Isn't that what James spends most of, you know, his chapter talking about? Proverbs 29:11 confirms this. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Have you ever experienced that, where you saw someone that wasn't letting anything back? They were just letting it all fly. Anything that off the top of their head. It was so sad. I was outside grilling last night, and there was our neighbors across the way, and their windows were open, and they were fighting so loud that it was actually overpowering the conversation I was having with my other neighbor down below me. And it was just all sorts of terrible things. There was just no control. Full vent. You knew exactly what they were fighting about and who was mad at who for what reason. And that happens with us when we are not careful. And this is the question that I want us to ask ourselves is, who is in control in your life? Are you the master of your emotions, or do you allow your emotions tonight, particularly anger, to be the master over you? See, we're very quick to excuse our actions because of our emotions, aren't we? We'll do something, we'll say, "Well, he made me so angry," as though being angry justifies and validates whatever we did because of that anger. Well, when that happens, we become the fool that has full vent of his spirit, and what we demonstrate is that we're not in control of our lives. What we demonstrate is actually that we allow our emotions to have control over us. And brethren, that cannot be that way. Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, "A man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." When we are very quick to anger, it often leads to very rash decisions, either in the things that we do or the things that we say, and almost always it leads to conflict with whoever it is that we're angry with and whoever it is that we're involved with at the time. And so here the proverb writer brings out that the one who's quick to anger isn't thinking about what he's doing. He's just acting. And I totally relate to that. And you can ask Kylie about this. When someone cuts me off and I get angry, my first reaction is to try to get back at them, right? You know those drivers where someone cuts you off, so your idea is, well, I'm going to speed up and cut them off and hit my brakes and don't drive with me. I'm serious. I'm working on it. I really am. And you can ask Kylie. I've been working so hard on this because I've allowed my anger to control me in those cases. And my first reaction is to act foolishly. I'm not thinking straight when I allow that to take place. Sometimes it's with what we say. It says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." And isn't that true? When we have no vent over our spirit, no control, when we get angry, we'll say all sorts of things that we don't actually mean, don't we? And we've all been there. We relate. We've heard it. We've said it. And there is more hope for the fool than the one who just spouts off when they're angry, because you can't take those words back, can you? You'll do all sorts of damage when you just spout off when you're angry. You'll say all sorts of things that can cause permanent damage in relationships, and you can't take it back. Brian Regan's one of my favorite comedians, and he talks about that. He talks about trying to reach out into the air and put it back in his mouth as he's saying things that he didn't mean. And don't you wish you could do that in your life? When you look back at certain moments, you're like, I wish I could have reached out and grabbed it and just shoved it right back down in my mouth. I should have been slow to speak, not quick to speak. But when we're quick to anger, we are always quick to speak. Also, Proverbs 30, verse 33, I love the imagery here. Solomon's making some, you know, when you do this, this happens. When you do this, this happens. Then he correlates it to anger. He says, for pressing milk produces curds, and pressing the nose produces blood. Okay, so when you apply pressure to milk and you churn it, right, and you get butter and then curds, and he says, and when you press the nose, you get popped in the nose, it always produces blood. Well, when you press anger, it produces strife. When you allow that to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and you allow that anger to build and build and build, it's going to cause conflict. It's going to cause problems in our lives when we are quick to anger in that way. I want to read just a short poem for you. I normally don't, you know, do this kind of thing, but I shared this with Kylie. I really enjoyed this. This was written by C.A. Loughborough, and you can read it in the Signs of the Times, the book Signs of the Times. But it's called The Echo, and I thought it really related to this principle that the Proverbs are trying to say. It says, I shouted aloud and louder while out on the plain one day. The sound grew faint and fainter until it had died away. My words had gone forever. They left no trace or track. But the hills nearby caught up the cry and sent an echo back. I spoke a word in anger to one who was my friend. Like a knife, it cut him deeply, a wound that was hard to mend. That word so thoughtlessly uttered, I would we could both forget, but it echoes, lives, and memory gives the recollection yet. How many hearts are broken, and how many friends are lost by some unkind word spoken before we count the cost. But a word or deed of kindness will repay a hundredfold, for it echoes again in the hearts of men and carries a joy untold. And I just thought that was so well written and encapsulated this thought that the Proverbs are trying to bring about, because when we're angry and we're quick to anger, we don't think, we say and do things we shouldn't do, and immediately after you settle down, you just wish you could do anything to take it back. Being quick to anger is something that we all have to be very careful of. But not just being quick to anger. Sometimes what we do, instead of allowing ourselves to boil up really fast and then explode like a volcano, is we allow ourselves to just continue to grow more angry and angry over time until we develop a bitter and grudging heart. In Proverbs 27, verse 3, it says, a stone is heavy, And sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Have you ever tried to pick up a large stone? Maybe you're doing yard work, or have you ever tried to carry a whole bucket of wet sand? I mean, that's hard to do. And here, the proverb writer says, that's like the weight of anger upon someone's soul. It just drags you down when you allow it to live in your heart and live in you. And that's why, going back to Ephesians 4, here's the application for that passage. Paul says what he does. Be angry as sin not, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Because every day that you choose not to deal with anger, but you put it off, and you remain angry, and you remain dwelling on it, and you don't deal with it, what do you do with every day, with your heart? Your heart grows harder and harder, and you give Satan a perfect opportunity. Even if perhaps you started out with a right and righteous reason to be angry, when you put it off and you don't deal with it as God would have you to deal with it, and you allow it to fester and build up inside, it will produce all sorts of unrighteousness in your life. You see, boiling up and exploding is wrong, but also allowing anger to control us and live from within us is equally wrong. Much rather, the Proverbs praise the one who is slow to anger. Rather than being like the servant that was given one talent and buries it because he doesn't want to deal with it, this is someone who is dealing with anger, but also in a way in which they are in control over their emotions. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty." And here's the catch. "And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." In other words, being a mighty man, like David's mighty man, we just marvel at them and their what they were able to do. But here the proverb writer says, you want to see something more impressive? It's someone who is in complete control over their emotions. They rule their spirit within, not vice versa. And it goes on to talk about several different things about the one who is slow to anger. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Proverbs 19, verse 11, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." We'll come back to that in a moment. But look at that parallel. Good sense makes one slow to anger. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. What is the proverb writer talking about? That someone who chooses to be slow to anger and is slow to anger has some type of understanding or better sense about them than most. Well, this is one who has control over their emotions, and they recognize what hasty anger brings and what it does. They've been there before. They've seen the unfruitful works of their labor previously, perhaps. They realize this didn't work. And so I'm going to use discretion now. I'm going to have good sense, and I'm not going to respond in anger. I'm not going to be quick to answer. I'm going to be quick to listen. I'm not going to be quick to get angry for other reasons that we'll see in a few moments. But instead, I'm going to allow myself to just cool. I'm just going to cool my head. I'm going to take this slow. I am going to be in control over this situation. And the one who responds that way is the one who is going to achieve the righteousness of God, even perhaps when they are angry. What about our anger? Because it's one thing to look at these things and understand that being quick to anger is wrong and leads to all sorts of unrighteousness. It's one thing to understand that I should be slow to anger, but how do I control it? Because just telling ourselves, hey, I need to get control, doesn't put the right tools in our basket to get control. We need to learn that process. How do I control my emotions? How do I take the reins over my life? Well, the proverb writer has a lot to say about that. In chapter 17, in verses 27 and 28, it says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise, and when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." You want to know what one of the best things to do when we're angry is be quiet. Because it is so quick to go from zero to 60 when you engage, isn't it? You're thinking, you're getting angry, and you want to say that one thing, but as soon as you say that one thing and you think that's going to be it, what does it immediately lead to often? Now you've got a battle of words back and forth, and it builds and it builds. You could fix all of that by learning, even when it's difficult, even when you really want to say something, to just keep your mouth shut. I'm learning that. And that's one of the things, you know, when I'm driving, when someone cuts me off, you know what the first step is not going, you know, and just starting to spout off, "I can't believe you did that. No, just, BJ, shut up," you know, shut up, really. And when you do that, you aren't setting yourself on a path that's going to only lead to destruction and more problems. But here's a second thing, and we aren't going to talk about all these practical things. I just want to talk about really these three. One, and here's going to be two right here. Ecclesiastes 7, 21 through 22 says, "Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others." You know, that expression, people that wear their feelings on their shirt sleeves, you know, that's someone who is controlled by their emotions. And I don't know how to say this without sounding terrible, so it's just going to come out terrible, so just deal with it. And that is, sometimes we just need to man up. Just deal with it. People are going to say stupid things that are directed towards you. They're going to say things that aren't true. They're going to say things that would make you angry. And if you decide to respond in anger every time someone says something foolish or dumb or something that makes you angry, you're going to be a very miserable person. You're going to have conflict all your life. Sometimes we got to learn to just stop taking everything so personally. Because chances are, if someone said something while they're angry, what did they probably, when you go back, when they come back later, what are they probably going to do after they've settled down? They're going to apologize and say, "Hey, I didn't mean that." Give it that time for them to do that. Don't respond right away. Don't take it so personally right away. Get over it. But then the second part of that, in dealing with forgiving the transgression of another, as we saw in the previous proverb, is how many times have I been angry and said something stupid? I mean, just ask my wife, right? Any husband in here knows if someone talked to your wives, they could tell you about when you've done that, and vice versa. We've all been there. We've all done that. And when I recognize, you know what, I'm not the most righteous person when it comes to anger either. I've said some pretty hurtful things, and you know what? I was really thankful when people responded gracefully to me and with patience and with kindness and didn't flare back at me. That's what I'm going to choose to do now. That's true wisdom. That's true understanding through the Proverbs and controlling our emotions. And that gives us some tools to help us to control those emotions, to think about those things. But sometimes it's not our anger. Sometimes it's learning how to appropriately and correctly respond to others. I was laughing with John and Lorraine this afternoon, the rest of my family. Brandon and I were at a baseball game last night, and I heckle the umpire every now and then, but I don't say anything terrible. But have you ever seen those videos where someone doesn't like the strike call? You know, there's been several this week, and the player just throws his helmet on the ground and starts getting in the umpire's face and is throwing dirt, and the coach comes out, and the umpire is just standing there like this, and he's just looking at him. Have you ever wondered, how is he doing that? Because if someone got in my face like that, I would probably not have that kind of self-control. You know, that's amazing. The self-control that they have to just stand there and listen. And oftentimes they'll cue in and you can actually hear the audio. And I love hearing the audio of the umpires because they are so smooth about it. They just say, "It's time for you to go back to the dugout." Or they'll just say, "This conversation is over." And they don't get back in their face. They don't scream back most of the time. They don't engage in this conflict. And Proverbs 5:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You know, when someone's angry with you and they're fuming at you, they're venting, they have no control over their emotions, you can't control other people, but you always have control over yourself. Every time. And though you might not have control over the other person, you to some degree have control over being able to defuse the situation. The tone that you use, the words that you choose to use, and the way in which you talk to someone can completely diffuse someone, can't it? if you approach them, especially with humility, maybe you're not even in the wrong, but you say, you know, I'm really sorry that I've hurt you. I can see that you're really upset, and I'm really sorry. And can you forgive me? How does someone keep screaming at you when you say that? It happens, but most of the time, what happens? It diffuses the situation. It turns away wrath. But if you respond back with, oh yeah, and you jump in, you're just going to blow the whole thing up. We need to learn to respond with a quiet answer. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of a righteous person ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Again, think before you speak. Because if I'm quick to anger and I'm quick to speak, I'm probably going to say things I shouldn't say. But when I take time, even if it's an awkward pause, someone's screaming at you and you're just sitting there and you're just thinking, you just take 10 seconds to respond, you're going to probably say something a lot better than if you'd have just initially said whatever came to your mind. We need to think before we speak. Proverbs 21, verse 14. This is the final proverb on the slide, but I want you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs 25. Because I think this is going to help explain this one. And I looked at this, and at first, this looks an awful lot like the proverb writer is saying, you know, if someone's angry at you, just bribe them, and it fixes it. Because it says, a gift in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe strong wrath. Now, granted, that's happened in the scriptures. Let's go back to the story of Jacob. When he's coming to Esau, last time he saw Esau, what did Esau want to do with him? Kill him. Now, again, Esau had a right to be angry, but that was not the righteousness of God. So what does Jacob do as he's about to meet Esau? He sends all these envoys with all these gifts to him. He's trying to bribe his brother so he won't kill him. Turn away anger with a gift. But when you look at Proverbs 25, I think there's a better lesson to be learned here. Verses 21 and 22 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You know, growing up, I always misunderstood this passage. I thought that meant, even if someone hates you, you treat them really well, and it's just going to make them more angry. And so if you really want to tick someone off, then you just treat them kindly, and then you really got them. You can really push their buttons. You think that's what the proverb writer is saying there? And the Lord's going to reward you? Good job, you made them more angry. No, most of the time, when someone's angry, they're treating you poorly, your enemy. They're persecuting you, maybe physically, verbally, whatever it might be. And you respond with a blessing. What will generally happen to that individual when they're returned, not evil for evil, but they're returned good for their evil? Usually that brings about some guilt, doesn't it? This coals on their head, that's what that means. Where they immediately realize, wow, I've been acting foolishly. I have not been acting the way I should. When someone is angry, the way that we respond should be the way that Christ always responded. When they were mocking him on the cross, and they put him up there and they pinned him on the cross and said, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down? You think Jesus was angry? You think some of those things hurt him? I mean, we lessen the humanity of Christ and the fact that he was in the flesh like us. I am astounded at just the self-control of Jesus Christ. But what astounds me more is when he looks down and he says, Father, what? You forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. A blessing. And when we look at the Proverbs, there's so much more that we could talk about. But I hope tonight what we've done is just taken a brief look at what the Proverbs have to say, and I hope we can just get a couple things out of this that I need to learn to be quiet, first of all. That's the first step in learning to control our anger, is to be quick to listen, as James says, slow to speak, and that will help us to become slow to get angry. And when I think about what I want to say first, and I return blessing for curse, most of the time you're going to be able to diffuse a situation. And with our own anger, when I remember that I shouldn't take everything so personally, and I remember that I too get angry and do or say stupid things, maybe it'll help me be a lot more understanding when someone else has lost control over their emotions. But ultimately, that's what this is about, is it's about control. Who has control in your life? Is it your emotions, or is it you and your spirit? We get to choose who has the reins. We just don't like that most of the time. We want to let ourselves vent, and we want to let our emotions just flow and take control. Whether it's sometimes it could be grief, sometimes it could be anger, sometimes it could, you know, anything. No, you need to take control, and I need to take control. When I'm on the road, I have to be in control, not my emotions. When you're in an argument with your spouse or with your children, that's why Paul says, don't provoke your children to wrath. That word provoke is to stir up anger. It's to boil up. You handle those situations as God has asked us to. You be in control. And that's our lesson for tonight. If you're with us, and we do have some visitors, and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, give Christ control. Because without Him, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so if you're willing to repent from your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, you will rise to walk in newness of life and be given the forgiveness of all of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This invitation is for you, and this invitation is for anyone who is in Christ, who needs encouragement, who needs prayers, whether it's for something that you're struggling with or whether it's for a good thing. We always treat coming forward like a bad thing. If you have things that you just need prayers for that are even good things, this is a family. This is an opportunity to allow us to act like a family and pray for each other. Take that opportunity now and let's stand and sing the song of invitation.